Welcome back to the Psalms. Psalm 109 today, for the director of music of David, a psalm. Do you ever wish that people who talk too much would speak less? Or wish that those who were silent would speak up more? I do. I think we all do sometimes. But David definitely does. In verse 1, David says, "My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent." David may have a song in his lips, but he's got a knife in his back. People have been talking about David behind his back. They've been betraying him, and it hurts. David, however, has been silent. The problem is, whereas people are talking way too much, God has been silent. So David says, "God, do not remain silent. I need you to speak. These others, they need to shut up, but I need to hear you." Verse 2, "For people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer." Ouch. You can hear the pain. David is a victim. It hurts. They've been talking, but speaking lies. Hateful lies. Attacking, David says, without cause. That's why David hasn't fought back with his words. He's not defended himself. Instead, in verse 4, he makes God his defense. "But I am a man of prayer." Years ago, I had dinner with Rick Warren. I asked him about a newspaper article that spun him as a universalist. And he knew the article well. And in private, he gave me his defense. But he made a statement that stuck with me. "I never defended myself in response to that article. Years ago, God told me, you can defend yourself or you can let me defend you. I chose to not speak out in my defense, but to let the Lord speak. And when he speaks, all are silent." That's exactly where David is here. He continues in verse 5, "They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Let an accuser stand at his right hand." It's easy to pick on someone who won't fight back. But live by the sword, die by the sword. David prays that they would be given a taste of their own medicine. "God, appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy." In other words, let someone do to them what they're doing to me. "Let an accuser stand at his right hand. Let him know what it feels like." Verse 7, "When he is tried, let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership." You've probably read this verse before. It is quoted in Acts by the apostles when they have to replace Judas. And that gives this verse a deeper meaning. Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He did nothing but love Judas till the end. And yet Judas spoke against him to his enemies. Judas betrayed him. Betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss. Someone who hated Jesus without cause. So, when they were trying to figure out what to do after Judas was dead, one of the 12 quoted this verse, realizing that this is how Jesus felt when he was mistreated by someone close to him, like Judas. So if you're there today, remember, you truly worship a God who deeply understands that pain. David continues in verse 9, "May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted out from the next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sin always remain before the Lord, that he may blot out their name from the earth." Whoa, David, like, Settle down, dude. Is David going too far here? Not really. We all know that we should never seek revenge, but David isn't doing that here. He's praying to God to reverse everything his enemy wished on David back on his own head. In Dungeons & Dragons, there was a spell that you could apply to any creature you encountered in a dungeon called Reverse Spell. Whatever the enemy cast at you, reverse straight back to them. Roll 20 for damage. David's not enacting vengeance here. He's praying to God. He's leaving judgment to he who judges justly. And that's a problem when we're deeply hurt. We need a place to vent, but we dare not trust our sense of justice. Instead, do what David did here. Don't react. Stay silent with men, but open your mouth to God. If you've ever had a choice between repaying evil for evil or going to God and unloading your grief and pain, then pick this option. But David's not finished. He gives the rationale why he thinks his prayer is justified. Turns out, his enemy's a piece of work. Check out verse 16. For he never thought of doing a kindness, but hounded to death the poor and the needy and the brokenhearted. He loved to pronounce a curse. May it come back on him. He found no pleasure in blessing. May it be far from him. If good were behind door number one, this guy would automatically pick whatever was behind door number two, as long as it wasn't good. He always opts for evil. And I'm sure we all know somebody like that. They don't just drift towards evil, but they pick it like they're at 31 flavors. And if there was a flavor called the devil's favorite or satanic crunch medley, they'd bypass all other 30 flavors and go straight for that one. And they get a double scoop. He doesn't just choose evil. He's corrupted by it. In verse 18, he wore cursing as his garment. It entered into his body like water, into his bones like oil, wrapping the cursing of others around himself wherever he went. It's now going through his clothes, piercing his flesh, seeping into his bones. The cursing he meant for others has been internalized. What a picture for people that cast hate out at others all the time. The hate spewed forth goes deep into their own soul like rot and corrupts everything. Somewhere, that innocent child that God created died. Their cloak of cursing becomes a straitjacket. In verse 19, may it be like a cloak wrapped about him, like a belt tied forever around him. May this be the Lord's payment to my accusers, to those who speak evil of me. But you, Sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. Wow, talk about turning on a dime. Everything suddenly lifts up and positive. And that's what happens. An evil person can ruin your day like a psychic vampire. They just suck into their evil and their cursing. Yet David puts a boundary up here in verse 21. But you, Sovereign Lord, help me. This is not how David chooses to live. He doesn't want any of this corruption to touch him. He doesn't want this person's tongue to jade him, to corrupt his soul, to change his character. He wants to keep the evil outside of him and the goodness that comes from God to remain on the inside. Verse 22, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. Not only is David hurt, wounded, he says, it's also worn him out. I fade away. I'm shaken. My knees collapse. This is a person who's struggling. This has not been easy. Verse 25. I'm an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your unfailing love. Let them know that it is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. While they curse, may you bless. Wow, did you catch that? While they curse or say the wrong things, may you bless or say the right things? Picture this with me. Every time your enemy speaks evil about you, imagine God saying the opposite. They say, you're worthless. Imagine God saying, you were worth the death of my son. They say, you're evil. God says, I have made you righteous. For if Christ is for us, who can condemn us? They may keep speaking wrong things, but David's asking God to bless and not be silent. Bless me, Lord, for I will keep talking to you. Verse 30. With my mouth, I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng of worshipers, I will praise him, for he stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them. My friend, when you're getting beat down by people's accusations, people talking behind your back, know this, you're not alone. God may be silent, but hear what his word says about you.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.